Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
So glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. There was an article on thechurchnews.com, an official website by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. It was titled, How Presidents Nelson, Oaks, and Irene Explained Latter-day Saint Temple Work to an Italian Journalist. The context for that title, of course, had to do with the dedication of a new Mormon temple in Rome, Italy. However, I've got to tell you, Eric, I think the title is quite interesting. How did they explain Latter-day Saint temple work to an Italian journalist? When you read the article, my conclusion would be, well, they kind of explained Latter-day Saint temple work in the same vague way that they often talk about LDS temple work. They use terms that probably need to be defined to most people because what they do in the temple and the way they describe it is certainly not in a way that I think most people would be familiar. But when the Mormons talk about what goes on in their temple ceremony, how often do they really go into intricate details that would make a person stand back and go, "What? Really? That's what you do?" They don't do that. They usually describe it, as I said, in very vague terms. But what made the content of this article, I guess you could say, so special is the fact that all 15 leaders of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the first presidency, which is composed of three men and 12 apostles, all met together for a big photo op session in the Rome Temple. That's rare. Normally, all 15 members are not together outside of the United States. So that was kind of a special portion of this event. But the other special thing that happened was that Russell M. Nelson, the 17th president of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saint, had a private audience with Pope Francis, as the article says, in the Vatican's Apostolic Palace. And it says in the opening line of this article that this was of deep interest to an Italian reporter who was granted an exclusive interview with the leader of the LDS Church. His name was Paolo Mastrolilli. He's the New York correspondent for the national Italian newspaper La Stampa. And so this article was kind of a condensed version without a lot of details as to what was asked in this particular interview. What I found fascinating about this is you have Russell M. Nelson having this private audience with Pope Francis. And of course, the photo op session shows them, you know, with all these smiles and everything. Yet, Pope Francis firmly believes that the Catholic Church is the only true church on the face of the earth. You've got Russell M. Nelson, who firmly believes that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is the only true church on the face of the earth. So you have these two leaders of these two traditions coming together who believe they are the only one that is right. Let's just throw in the leaders of the Watchtower Society, too, because they also believe they're the only true organization on the face of the earth. When Mastrolilli starts asking some of these questions, he mentions how Rome is the center of Catholicism. And why have you chosen it, he asks, of the three, the first presidency that was there for this interview. What was said after that?
In the temple, we have the highest ordinances and blessings that God can give to his people, President Nelson said, and the people of Italy are no exception. They deserve these blessings.
Now, if you just read that, it would give you the impression that I guess just about any Italian can go in the temple and receive these blessings that President Nelson is talking about. But is that true? Can just anybody walk into a Mormon temple and receive these alleged ordinances and blessings that God can give to his people?
Well, the answer to that question, Bill, is easily a no, because you have to have a temple recommend. To get a temple recommend, you have to be baptized into the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. You have to be a faithful tithe payer and follow all of the different rules and regulations when you're interviewed by your bishop.
You have to be a worthy member, and that's why many temple-worthy members of the LDS Church pride themselves in their accomplishments, that they are qualified to even go into a temple. Now, we don't see this pattern in the New Testament. In fact, the pattern we do see in the New Testament when it comes to temple worship, and there was a temple in Jerusalem at the time of Jesus and the apostles, but we also know that the reason why people went to the temple was because they knew they were unworthy. Not because they were worthy. So it's just the opposite reason that people during the New Testament went to the temple. They felt themselves to be unworthy. In Mormonism, again, they have to be worthy. So there is a huge difference between the New Testament message and the message of Mormonism.
Bill, I was just recently in Italy, and our guide said that 85% of everybody who lives in Italy is Roman Catholic. And so I think that's an important word that was missing out of the citation. The people of Italy are no exception. If Nelson had said the Latter-day Saint people of Italy are no exception, then that would have made more sense. So I'm wondering if the reporter is catching that only certain people are going to be allowed into this new Rome temple.
It makes you wonder, and again, we don't have the transcript. We're just going by this article that was found in thechurchnews.com, but it says in the very next paragraph, the dynamic changed when the topic turned to what happens inside Latter-day Saint temples. Though President Eyring wore the mic, the three leaders began to play off each other. Now, what does he mean by the dynamic changed? Is Mastrolilli asking some very pointed questions that maybe he knows something about the temple ceremony, and so he's asking about some of these intricate details that most Mormons are not going to give freely because they're not supposed to talk about those things freely. They make vows not to discuss the intricate details of the temple endowment ceremony outside of the temple. Is that maybe what he meant by that? I don't know.
Whether you call it secret or sacred, the Latter-day Saints are not allowed to talk about it. They're sworn to secrecy. And unless you go to YouTube and type in the words New Name Noah, who has gone through the temples of the Latter-day Saint Church to be able to see what goes on in there, you wouldn't know, really. And so I think perhaps why they start to banter, it sounds like, and maybe avoid the question is because it's a little awkward. They don't want to have to talk about what goes on inside.
It mentions in this article, it says, then President Eyring said ordinances performed in the Rome Temple would allow people to have the expectation they can be together forever in a family. He told Mastrolilli he believed Latter-day Saints share that feeling with many Italians. Now, I can only assume that what he means by that is a lot of professing Christians have this idea that heaven is going to be like one big, huge family reunion, kind of what Mormonism teaches. But basically, if you look at what the New Testament has to say about that, is yes, there's going to be a big family reunion, but we're talking about the family of God. We're talking about those who have been forgiven of their sins. Yes, certainly they will all be together in the presence of God forever and ever. But the requirement to get into that very exclusive place, you might say, is you must be forgiven of your sins. That is often left out of the equation when Mormons are talking about this, because as this paragraph implies, it sounds like it's a done deal that if you go to the temple and you do what you do in the temple, that, yeah, we're going to be with our family. Now, we all know that the only way you're going to be with your family, according to Mormonism, is if everybody qualifies for celestial exaltation. You will not be with your family if you only qualify to get to, let's say, the second level of Mormon heaven, known as the terrestrial kingdom. You will not be with your family if you only qualify to get into the telestial kingdom, the third level of Mormon heaven. Being with your family forever and ever is only going to be gained if every single one of your family members qualifies for the celestial kingdom. That's the only way it happens. That's not brought out in this article. I don't know if maybe they brought that up to Mastrolilli. I would think that if they did, that may have been something of interest that he could have written about, but we don't see anything in this article that mentions anything like that. We go on and it says, President Oakes, this would be Dallin H. Oakes, said temple ordinances allow Latter-day Saints to perform the essential ordinances of mortality for the benefit of those who died. It goes on to say, our belief, President Irene added, is that the ability to seal families reaches back into our ancestors. So the idea is that those ordinances for the dead include the sealing of families together forever so that I can, well, my great-great-great-grandpa, somehow I can be with him again and his family. Now, let me explain something here, because what Irene is talking about, going to his great-great-great-grandpa, that person probably died before the restoration of the gospel as it's understood by members of the LDS Church. So in that case, his great-great-great-grandpa, if he lived before the restoration, before the introduction of Mormonism in the 19th century, all he would need do in the spirit world is accept a vicarious baptism that was done on his behalf in any particular Mormon temple. Only if he accepted it. And Mormons don't know whether or not their ancestors accept it. There was a picture that was on the web that showed Russell M. Nelson in his white suit, which is what they wear in the temple, standing next to a statue of the Apostle Peter in the Rome temple, because there's statues of all the apostles. He's standing next to this statue, and he's got his hand down by his side, and it looks like he's grabbing the keys that are in the hand of the Apostle Peter in the statue.
The message of that would be very obvious, because the keys of Peter found in Matthew chapter 16, according to Mormonism, the restored church would have those keys. And so it almost looked like he was receiving the keys from Peter, from the statue of Peter. But the message is very clear.
Yeah, and of course that comes from Matthew 16:19, and the Roman Catholic Church, of course, feels that they're the ones that have those keys. So it was kind of strange what that picture looked like. It was almost like he was doing it kind of secretly off to the side. And that picture, though it apparently was on a website, it was on the LDS Church News. If you type in certain keywords, you'll get the link, and it shows this picture. But if you go to that link in the church news, the picture's not there. I wonder if maybe, just maybe, it could have been taken down later on. I don't know.
I think so, because when I first saw it, I thought maybe it was photoshopped, that there had been some generation of another picture put together with Nelson, because I would think that that is very offensive, not only to the Roman Catholics, but also to all Christians, the idea that Nelson is the one who holds those keys today.
Let me close with this. In the article, it cites Dallin H. Oakes, who said, to this interviewer, this Italian interviewer, Rome is the capital of world Christianity. And I thought, wow, that's a little misleading, you would think, from the context of Mormonism. Wouldn't it have been more accurate if President Oakes said, Rome is the capital of apostate Christianity? Because that's what Mormon leaders have taught. They alone represent true Christianity. Any other organization claiming to be Christian would, of course, be in this category of apostate Christendom. But that's not what President Oakes said.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.